Who is your God? What is he like? Is he like us? If Jesus walked on the earth today, would he go surfing with you at the beach, checking out the chicks? Drive a V8 sports car, making a lot of noise at the traffic lights? Go bungee jumping off a high bridge with you? Watch you get all dolled up with makeup and jewelry, pull on a tight pair of pants and go down to the mall for some window shopping? What about hanging out with you and your mates, playing computer games and just goofing around? What about putting on a pair of shorts and playing footy with the team? What about sitting down with you to watch your favourite movie on the television? What would Jesus do if he were here today? What would God the Father do? Did we all just on the inside sit up a bit straighter? Did we all just suddenly have a shocking thought or a vision? Did we all suddenly go, oh, that's a bit different? Jesus was fully man, and yet he was fully God. In John 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In Matthew 3:17, at Jesus' baptism, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark 9:7, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' form changed. Though he was fully man, he became shining. He became exceedingly white as snow, as no fuller on earth can ever white them. Mark 9:3. And his disciples didn't know what to do, and they were sore afraid, and they fell on their faces. And this is what the disciples did in the presence of Jesus in his real form. Yes, we often think of Jesus as a man, as one of us. And he was one of us. And two of my favourite scriptures, if you take notes, note these ones down. Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. "Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren," that's us, "that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." And again in Hebrews 4:15 and 16. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus was fully man, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. So in our imperfections and our failings, we can come to him, and he knows us, and he feels for us, and he is able to give us aid, so that we can overcome and that we can succeed.
Amen.
But Jesus is also God. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says that he is the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image of his person. So when Jesus returns, and this is my question, how will he be? Now, there are four attributes of God that I want to look at today. We also want to look at some misconceptions about God that are being voiced abroad. And finally, we want to look at some applications to our spiritual house, not our physical house. I've got too many jobs to try and get all my jobs finished up and ticked off my list. I want to look at my spiritual house today. Is there some work that we need to do? What are the applications? So, what does the scripture tell us of God? What is he like? Now, before we get into our four points, what source should we use to investigate this subject? Thank you. I won't even bother giving all your options then. You've given us the right answer. Do we use personal experience? Do we use the testimony of friends? Do we use the Encyclopedia Britannica? Do we go to any of our public school teachers? Do we use university professors or blokes at the pub?
Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest. No, we go to the Bible. Why? This here is God's word. It's God's self-testimony. Okay, so it's what he says about himself. So if we want to investigate God, the best place to find out is to ask him. And he tells us here. So, the first attribute that I want to bring to our attention is this. He is the only God. Point one, he is the only God. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Verse 8. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And just bear in mind, this is God who says he knows the name of every single star in the universe. And so if he knows the names of all the stars, and if there were another God apart from him, he'd know it. True. I know not any, is what God says. Isaiah 45:5-6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:21-22. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. 2 Samuel 7:22. Thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. 2 Kings 19:15. O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Psalm 83:18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Lord, are the most high over all the earth. Psalm 86:9-10. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and does wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Okay, so the first point. I'm sorry I read out so many scriptures, and there's so many more. There's one God.
Yeah.
Okay, did we get that? Okay, he repeats it, not once, not twice, but over and over and over and over. There is one God. Okay, there is, second point, there is one way to God.
Yeah.
So we have one God and we have one way to God. Jesus Christ, God's own Son. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In Acts 4:12, it says, At the name of Jesus Christ, there is neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And John 3:16, as you all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By necessity, if there is a right way, then there is probably a wrong way. I don't remember too many questions in my high school exams where you could only get a right answer. Do you? You guys, everyone here has done exams? Have you ever been asked questions where you can only get a right answer? Not many. Okay. So too, there is only one way to God. But there is also another way. in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." As Jesus said, "I am the door," he is the way that we enter into the narrow road. He is the straight gate. We have, for you children that haven't heard that word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, it's not straight meaning a straight line, but it's meaning a narrow, something narrow. So we have Bass Strait. We go over on the Spirit of Tasmania over the Bass Strait. That's the Bass Narrow. Okay? So the narrow gate is narrow. Okay? And so he tells us, Jesus tells us, he gives us the answer to this exam. He tells us which one to choose. "Oh, there's two ways before me. One's really narrow and hard to enter in, and the other one's broad and easy. Which one should I take?" He says, "Enter ye. Enter ye in at the straight gate." But we must also note that there is another gate, and there is another way. Now, many people today claim that all paths lead to God. You know, sort of like the picture that God's at the top of the mountain, and all paths lead to the top of the mountain. Like, if you just keep going up, you'll get to the top of the mountain, right? Wrong. So, with this philosophy, if you're in India, well, you come to God through Hinduism. If you're an Arab, you come to God through Muhammad. If you're in Asia, you come to God through Buddha. All paths lead to God. This is false. God does not say this about himself. Let me say this again. This is false. And when we look to the Bible, when we look to the Word of God, God does not say that about himself. God says a lot of things about himself, but he does not say that. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 to 6. "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." Note, when you look up that verse, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 6, when it speaks about our Father in heaven, it uses a capital G, for there is one God. And when it talks about the gods of the nations, it uses a small g. There are many gods and there are many lords. Okay, and we're not arguing. In the Bible, in 2 Kings, verses chapter 17, verse 30, the men of Babylon apparently worshipped Succoth Benoth, the men of Cuth Nergal, the men of Hamath Ashima, the Avites worshipped Nibhaz and Tartak, the Sepharvites worshipped Adrammelech and Anamelech. In 1 Kings 11:5, Ashtoreth is the god of the Zidonians, Milcom of the Ammonites. In Acts 19, Diana is the god of the Ephesians. Rome had multiple gods. Greeks had multiple gods. That's where Greek and Roman mythology comes from. I don't recommend you give it to your children to read. Today, the Asian countries worship Buddha. The Muslim countries worship Allah. The Hindu countries worship the multiple gods of Hinduism. The Japanese, Shintoism. In Africa, the Pacific Islands, in Australia, in South America, they all had their gods, their idols, their witch doctors, and their holy men. For there are gods many and lords many. For though that there be called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Small g. Different names, different attributes, they are not the God of the Bible. They are not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is important. God, Yahweh, Jehovah, has never claimed to reveal himself through the gods of the nations, through Muhammad, through Buddha, through Confucius. the deities of Hinduism, the Greeks or the Romans or anything else. God has never claimed to reveal himself through them. He has said that he is God alone, and the only way to come to him is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what are the others? Have you ever thought about that? What are the other gods? What does the Bible tell us of the other ways? My wife, Bethany, just read a book the other day. It was a biography we purchased that's from Coorong, and it's about a man who found Jesus Christ, who was a Muslim. And Bethany said to me, and she just read a book on a man who was saved out of... he was a Buddhist, sorry. And she just read these books. So one was a Buddhist who was studying to be a Buddhist monk in Tibet, and the other one was a Muslim. And she read these books one after the other, and she said to me the other night, she goes, "Do you know what all the other religions are based on?" I said, "Yeah, I do." She said, they're based on demonology. I said, "Yeah, that's right. That's what the Bible says. Because I'm preparing this message, right? And do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the Bible says about the nations of the other world? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you have fellowship with devils." In Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 to 17, the nation of Israel, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. Whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and have forgotten the God that formed thee. And here is a very challenging